We're 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. We'll have a Fox News update coming up here in about 5 minutes. And then it'll be time for my brother John, brother Johnny, adjunct professor, University of Illinois, and a member of the National Academy of Sciences, and Hall of Famer Mike Ditka will be on TV tonight at ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut.
Awesome.
Bears and Giants. He'll make the flight today and be on the TV tonight.
Yep.
Has these production meetings at 2 in the afternoon. Kind of fun to get the inside on Mike's schedule. It's crazy.
He's flying all over the place. He probably never knows what time it is.
Oh, he really, he does remember. I mean, I'll talk to Mike Ditka and he'll, you know, say, I got to go here, I got to go here, I got to go here, I got to go here. And he'll have like 4 or 5 things and I can't do that.
Right.
How does he do that?
Yeah.
And then he says, I can't remember anything. Oh, yeah, you can.
You just told me your schedule.
But yeah, it's stunning. Anyway, he'll be in town with Punky QB Jim McMahon. You can call Big Mike over. This is at Furniture. I think he has a few spots left for this. But he'll be in town November the 11th. 11, 11, 11.
Yeah, but that's Veterans Day. A lot of people have the day off.
Yeah.
What a great time to meet Mike Ditka.
Yeah, that'll be on November 11th. Jim McMahon and Mike Ditka. You can call Big Mike at This Is It Furniture for more details on that. Latest from Tripoli. It's a pretty fluid situation because it's hard to keep track of what we know is that Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's 4-decade-long rule apparently is over, but it's not completely done. They think I've heard reports of the rebels controlling 80% of Tripoli to 95% of Tripoli. There's still some holdouts. There's still gunfire. There's still some tanks that are in Gaddafi's control. They've arrested the two sons. Where does this sound familiar? Remember Saddam Hussein's sons?
Mm-hmm.
They've arrested the two sons, and they can't find Muammar Gaddafi. Well, maybe he's in a hole like Saddam Hussein was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you're thinking, well, he's a ruthless dictator. It's about time. What happened to the Lockerbie bomber? Remember, the police, this is in Scotland. They released him because he's about to die 2 years ago. There's some New Jersey people that want him extradited to the United States for the bombing of the Pan Am flight over Lockerbie. Was it 89? Anyway, he's still living, so nobody knows where he is. But Gaddafi, obviously a very bad man. But the other part of that is, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some order, some rule? Are you going to have a Somalia where half of it's controlled by pirates? So while you get a bad guy out, you have to wonder, with the oil interests of the United States, what's next in Egypt and now Libya and, oh, yeah, Syria? And how does Iran play into it? Iraq has had trouble in the past week with some violence. Unstable and transformational. This is a really, really unique time in our history as far as the uprisings in the Middle East. But Syria remains defiant, mowing down and killing hundreds, if not thousands, of protesters that are so passionate they're willing to die for this. And it continues. And oddly, Hillary Clinton called for President Assad to step down. And of course, he said no. All right, 729. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, their take coming up next on 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.
93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.
VersaBar, world leader in the development of heavy lifting solutions, is a proud sponsor of the Mike Ditka Show, Mondays and Fridays between 7:30 and 8. VersaBar, also a proud supporter of the University of Illinois and the College of Civil and Environmental Engineering, the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Unity Rockets. To learn more about VersaBar, just go to www.vbar.com. That's www.vbar.com. VersaBar, the power of engineering delivered. Just ahead of Mike and Johnny, let's check your Connect FM 3-day forecast from the National Weather Service.
What a beautiful day to get back to school with sunny skies, high 83, low 50.
35 in Champaign-Urbana. Joining me, as always, Mondays and Fridays from 7:30 to 8, my brother Johnny, now an adjunct professor, University of Illinois, member of the National Academy of Sciences, the Thomas Edison of our time when it comes to oil and gas, and the Hall of Famer himself, Mike Ditka. Icon, all-around great guy, movie star from Kicking and Screaming, Mike Ditka. All right, from Tripoli this morning, it appears The Gaddafi rule is over. We're still trying to sort it out as to where he is, as to how much of Tripoli is controlled. But, Johnny, it looks like the age of Gaddafi is over.
Well, great. I don't know, Mike. You never know. I hadn't been paying a lot of attention. I know that NATO has kind of been running that deal. But good riddance, in my opinion.
Well, I think you're right. He's a dictator. But I think the problem is you don't know what you're getting out of the rebels. The people will overthrow him. And so, I think what kind of government you get, I don't know. I saw something where they say price of oil is kind of stabilized a little bit, but, it can go back up. I mean, that's a lot of oil coming through Libya.
Well, I see.
I don't know if it's good or bad, really. I don't think he's a good person, but yet again, I have no idea.
Well, you got a great point. That's the old jumping from the frying pan into the fire. So
yeah.
We don't know.
And I've seen the dancing in the streets, and I'm wondering, who coordinates it now? I know it's bad to have a dictator, but somebody's going to have to take control. And usually the reason they do stronghold things is because they can't get any order. So it looks good now, but boy, there's a lot of work to be done, as there is in Egypt, as there is across the Middle East. This is a transformational time, isn't it?
Well, too, and we're seeing it from the perspective of overthrow the dictator and become a democracy. Well, we don't know if that's going to happen. And so we have to see what emanates out of that area, what kind of governmental structure evolves. It's not necessarily going to be a democracy.
Yeah, no, it could be mob rule. I mean, it could be not as bad, but it could be pretty close to as bad, really. And I don't think anybody really knows. I mean, you're seeing that. And this was said a long time ago, Gaddafi is not a good person, but are these people any better? Who knows?
Yeah.
It could be worse if you have mob rule. You don't have any kind of structure. They can't get money for oil, and all of a sudden everybody starts to get hungry, and there's no order whatsoever.
Well, so, what's Somalia now?
That's kind of what it is. You got pirates, and now they've divided into two countries, and one of them is now the poorest one in the world, I believe. But hey, it's a big world, complicated, and. That was surprising to me, though, Mike. I didn't know he was even close to bailing. I hadn't heard.
Yeah, okay, so they're dancing in Tripoli, and I guess we'll sort it out and see what happens. Syria says stay away from us. You better not come in. You better not do anything with the guys not leaving. I guess, again, you continue to let everything fall on its own weight if that's what's going to happen.
Well, and we've talked before about that.
We can't. We can't go into every country in the world. That's the problem. We're in Iraq, we're in Afghanistan. Now you want to go into Libya. Now you want to go into Syria. I mean, you just can't do it. I mean, first of all, those people, they have to live with the consequences of who they elected, whoever governs them. They've got to do that. We can't be the watch person of the whole world, and that's where we make a mistake. So there was a long thing in the Monroe Doctrine years ago, entangling alliances with nobody, and basically we should go back to that. Of being a strong country in ourselves and taking care of ourselves more than worrying about the rest of the world.
And that's, of course, you hear that from Ron Paul, Steve, one of the candidates for president, and he's getting a lot of traction in terms of some support. I don't think he'll win, but he says, we need to mind our own business. And of course, we say that a lot.
When you look at it, what he's saying, I don't know Ron Paul from Lodi. How much money do you think has been spent on Iraq and Afghanistan? How much money has been spent? Now, will we ever recoup that? No. I mean, are we going to get anything done? I don't know. So, you're saying, well, you just can't let it happen. Well, maybe you can just let it happen. If they're going to kill each other, that's just what it's going to come down to. But, you say, well, that's heartless. Well, it's not heartless. That's just the way it is. If people are uncivilized, they're going to do anything anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I think we had a little bit of this before World War II when we got in because of Pearl Harbor. But at some point, some people, the other side says, listen, we're the representation for freedom and liberty. When do we help and when don't we help? And is there ever a time we do?
Well, and I think World War II kind of got us down on this track where really couldn't sit aside because there was a guy who might have taken over the whole world. So we jumped in. But I don't know if that's the case in all these other situations. And
I agree with you, John. I don't think it's that case at all. I don't think it's anything about world domination where Germany and Japan had that realistically, and that was their aim.
And they were close. If we don't get in, I don't know. And then it's just a matter of we better get in when we have a chance to win because we're next.
Yeah.
Don't think they'd have left us alone.
Yeah.
So,
well,
that's not what we've done. Yeah. So.
Well, when Germany attacked France, they're our ally. There's a little bit of difference there. These people haven't gone really out and attacked anybody. What they have done is within their own country. And yeah, you're right. It's been brutal. It's been heartless. It's not. It's sickening, but still, again, they're doing it to themselves.
And then we have Israel, right? We have Israel in the middle of all of this, and we do support Israel.
Well, but we can't, we can't do anything. We'll protect or come in and say, let's get freedom and let's get democracy, and then it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And so have we made it better or worse?
You're right, John. I don't know that, us coming into anything is going to make it better. You say, we're protecting the rights of individuals over there. Well, this country was formed by individuals protecting their own rights, but with the Revolutionary War. And it's just what it is.
Yeah.
If the people are right, and they'll get it done. If they're not right, then it's going to be mob rule.
Yeah. All right.
We had a new plan for the United States. We had another better idea. We had something to fight for, and I don't know what they're fighting for other than get rid of what you got now see what happens.
Is it possible with our system to ever have a consistent foreign policy?
Well, everybody will tell you you can't go back to the Monroe Doctrine, you can't go back to those things because it's too big a world now, and what other people do that eventually will affect the United States. Well, it may and may not. Basically, what they're doing right now is just affecting their own countries, period.
That's a good question. Can we have a consistent foreign policy when we keep switching, from one political and philosophy to the next? It's hard. I think we try to do that. I think in all cases we've tried to do that. It's different. Everybody's different, and there's a lot of power in the presidency and their cabinet.
Meanwhile, you have, of course, politics as usual. Maxine Waters, Congresswoman of California, said, and I quote, "The Tea Party can go straight to hell." Maxine Waters.
Well, she ought to know she's been there.
I don't know what you can say to that because...
unintelligent people say unintelligent things. It's not a complicated issue.
But,
intelligent person.
These are the people that complain about uncivilized rhetoric.
Yeah, right.
When there's a disagreement from the other side,
yeah.
And then if they seem to be losing ground in one way or another, they just start after it. And that's not very consistent, Steve.
Yeah, it's not. And yet you hear about no compromise, no negotiation when they rammed health care down our throats 2 years ago.
Well, and that's right. That's what started, I think, Obama on a... kind of a tough road.
Yeah, and ultimately it may be the downfall too, because it's a bad system, and it's just not right. I don't know if you've been watching this thing on TV about distribution of the wealth. Well, they're talking to these college students. Would you redistribute your grade point average?
Yeah.
If you're 4.0, would you give somebody 2 to make it even? Come on, stop. Well, they don't want to do that. These are the intellectuals who are saying distribution of the wealth. Though.
Yeah. A guy that works for all A's, a guy that parties and gets all C's, you're supposed to give him 3-year A's? That's not right.
Absolutely.
That's exactly.
Well, and the other thing about the health care bill, just from a political standpoint, that exhibition cost the Democrats control of Congress, which has now put us with this kind of a stalemate situation, which I'm not complaining about that. I don't understand the approach, especially openly bribing votes to get that bill through. I don't understand that approach. I just don't believe that they thought that was going to end well. And I think that the Democrats may pay the price for that bill yet.
Yeah, and how in the world will unemployment come down? How will the stock market feel confident? How will anything feel better right now in the next 12 months? I mean, what would change it to unless we change dramatically the course of action toward business, the regulations, all the things out there, what could possibly get things better?
You know,
you're right.
Super committee could come up with a real.
Oh, yeah. That's the most interesting thing I've ever heard in my life. Right there. You got a House of Representatives, you got a United States Congress, you got a president, and so you get these 12 joke balls. I don't care who they are. They sit down in a room and they're gonna work it all out.
Somehow came up with a great plan, Steve, that could get things going. I don't think that's gonna happen.
If they came up with a great plan, John, do you think it would pass?
Yeah.
Probably not.
I doubt that it would.
Yeah.
It would, because it's only the plan of 12 people.
And yet you have so much being made of the Martha's Vineyard trip, Hillary Clinton calling for the Syrian leader to step down, not the president. I mean, it feels like somebody said, do you think that Barack Obama's a bad guy? I said, I just think he's so far over his head. Is that what it feels like?
Well, I think one thing in any position of leadership, you know, if you don't know things, you have to hire people who do know things. Not yes people, not people who agree with you, but people who do know. It's no different than a football coach. You don't know all the positions. So you must hire capable people to coach the offensive line, defensive line, secondary, things like that. Now, if you don't listen to what they say, then there's no use having them.
Well, and the other part of that equation is, you know, it's the American people. We understand we're spending too much, and yet everybody wants their part of the pie, Steve. It's, you know, you hear every day about, well, I'm not giving that up. Well, you know, I got to have this.
Right.
You know, well, a lot of this isn't just our leaders. It's coming straight from us. That's our system was designed to reflect the people, and it does. I hate to say it. It does, and we need to think it through a little more and get some different people there, and maybe we have to acknowledge that we want to be accountable and more independent as a nation. So,
well, and go ahead, Mike.
You're right, John. But we have to hold our politicians accountable. I mean, and that really falls back on the populace because we elected them. And therefore, but you know, you can say, well, this, that, but you know, they got to be accountable. They got to be accountable to the people who elected them, my God, and they aren't. Everybody's accountable to a party, and that's wrong.
All right, it's Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, here on 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. 7:48, we'll be right back, conclude our discussion, talk a little sports. That'll be coming next on 93.5, 95.3. Connect with our final few minutes with Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny as we talk sports. Larry Fitzgerald, Mike, gets 8 years, $120 million, $50 million guaranteed for the Arizona Cardinals. Fabulous wide receiver, but that's a lot of money. It really is.
Well, you know, it's evidently, and Larry Fitzgerald is an excellent football player. I don't know that the precedent you're setting is good, but you know, if evidently they can afford to do it, they wouldn't have done it. So I don't begrudge Larry Fitzgerald anything. The logic I don't really understand, but that's okay. It's only me.
So that's about $15 million a year or something in that order of magnitude.
Well, if he blows out his knee, he has $50 million guaranteed. That's about $1 million more than Mike Ditka got in 1960. So.
I would say a little bit more than that.
Man. All right, so Terrell Pryor, the Ohio State quarterback, trying to impress the scouts, says he'll play any position to help his team win. Did he really run a sub 4-4? Terrell Pryor ran a sub 4-4-40?
Well, the guy's a phenomenal athlete. Whoa. I mean, but, you know, sometimes the elevator didn't get to the top floor, that's all. I mean, you got to be honest. I mean, you know, his decision-making wasn't good. But then again, don't forget, he's a young kid. And somebody flashes something at him and the tattoos and everything else. I mean, they're going to sell memorabilia. I mean, no, you know, is it right? No, it's not right. Is the NCAA right? No, they're not right either. I mean, they got a lot of problems right now, you know. And you take these kids in college football, college basketball, the money they bring to the NCAA through their their play. And I understand that these kids, their pay should be the college education. But it's pretty hard to tell a kid when he doesn't have $50. Somebody's going to give him $50 for something. You're going to take it. I mean, just the way it is. These kids don't have it. And so they, you know, and a lot of it, too, these good football players like Pryor probably and some of the other ones, there's agents involved early in their careers in college, actually.
Yeah. They're hanging around.
They're probably getting bad advice.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, too, I got to tell you, Pryor didn't look like he had the quickness to run a sub-4.4. I think he had speed, definitely. He could run 40 yards.
Straight down. Right.
But I don't know about from the start. I never saw that kind of quickness when he was playing. And he's a great athlete, but I never thought he was as good as a Cam Newton by any means or some of the others.
Yeah. Well, should we pay college players? Are we at that point?
I always thought we might be getting there, Mike.
I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to have to do something. I really do, or this is going to really spiral out of control. Because it's really, when you look at it, you know, you pay employees if you're a system and anybody has a business. And really, the NCAA is a business, guys. And guys are the employees.
Yeah. We have these, we have after work basketball games. Steve almost got killed in one of them, but that's amateur athletics. When you're talking about a multi-billion-dollar business and then the only amateur part of it are the ones playing, I don't know if that makes any sense. So, and it puts them in unfair, conflictive situations, so.
Well, and you know, you're always going to have if you do pay them, there's always going to be under the table money that pays them more. I mean, how do you ever stop stuff like that?
Well, there's always that potential. And I think people, I always say Illinois is really, really clean, Mike. That's when we have trouble beating anybody. So, you know, but it's like we do a good job, I think, of trying to stay within those rules. And it's hard to compete.
You know, it's got to be a lot of people doing the job, too. John, you just can't put it on the coach's shoulders. I mean, my God, he can't in that time. I think what they did to Jim Tressel at Ohio State is really wrong. You know, I mean, his job when he hired on it said coach. It didn't say babysitter. It didn't say truant officer. It didn't say any of that stuff. And I think to a degree he got a raw deal.
Well, I mean, it is a babysitting job, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And I mean, John will tell you, too, I mean, you had other students, whether it be graduate students or what, who would tutor some of the athletes, things like that. And but you know, you can't tell them what time to go to bed. I mean, my God,
yeah, it's really not. I think Mike's right. It's not a babysitting job. You're supposed to put this team together and win. And and there's only so much one man can do.
Well,
you can,
we've had coaches go to Greg Hall on campus to see if the guy shows up for class. I mean, that's been happening for decades. I mean, that's kind of what they do. So in essence, part of it is babysitting, whether it should be or not. That these assistant coaches are chasing after these guys all the time.
I agree with that part of it. Oh yeah, but why should that have to be?
Oh, exactly. I agree.
When I was in college, that didn't happen.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, it's an interesting time we live in, both politically, sports wise. I mean, it is really amazing when a wide receiver gets a $50 million guarantee at $120 million 8 years. And I love Larry Fitzgerald, but, man, that really got my eyes open because, Mike, that means every wide receiver that's pretty good is going to get a lot of money.
Well, you raise the bar. The bar's there now. I mean, what are you going to do? The bar's there. But not only that, not only every wide receiver, every quarterback, every running back, everybody else, every middle linebacker.
Well, and we're just a few weeks away, Johnny, from America's team visiting Lambeau Field in Green Bay.
You know, Steve, we had the Saints come in here to the Houston Texans arena.
Texans are good, Johnny. Texans are good.
No, I really think they might be. Mike, I think they have a little better defense this year. And of course, I thought Schaub was good, so I think they might end up doing something.
Well, they're a good team, you're right, but the Saints are a good team. The thing that I've been watching, I haven't watched it all, but the games I've watched, it's kind of amazing to me. I don't know if the offenses are that good or the defenses are just that bad, because I see some breakdowns that are incredible. Now, if you take a team like the Patriots, man, they really look good in two games.
Yeah.
I guess they're preseason games. I mean, I don't know what you measure all this by. I think Houston is a team on the rise, but they got to get to the next level. They've been knocking on the door, but they haven't knocked the door down yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, their big nemesis, of course, is Indianapolis. I don't know what Indianapolis is going to be Peyton Manning isn't healthy, I wouldn't think they'd be very good. They don't look very good.
I tell you, talk about your franchise guy. Guys, I'm going to leave it there. Johnny, Mike, always a pleasure. We'll meet up again on Friday, but thank you as always for joining us on Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 today. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Take care. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.
Always a pleasure, and we love having him on because we talk about everything there is to talk about. Listen this afternoon as we'll have it up on the podcast.
That's right.
MyConnectFM.com. And you can listen again if you'd like. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Your Fox News update is coming up next.